mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, we're taking the show on the road, presented by Taylor Automotive of Findlay, on location at Donnell Stadium for the kickoff of another high school football season. We'll be joined by Trojans head coach Stephen Adams, Findlay athletic director Nate Wyrow, marching band director Rob Sieslick, the WFIN broadcast team of Tim Montgomery and Cliff Height, and Coach's Corner host John Marshall will join us. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, August 21st, 2026. I guess we could call these the Friday morning lights because we've got Donnell Stadium all lit up here for this first week of the high school football season. Findlay Athletic Director Nate Wyrow is with us this morning. Thanks for opening everything up for us this morning. I appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to do so.
Yeah, and how exciting is this to be back on the gridiron and be back for another season?
Yes, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. We, the Trojans opened up 130 years ago.
130
years ago for Trojan football. So yeah,
it was a little different than this.
It's a little different. And I tell you what, if you ever been up to the press box here at Donnell Stadium, you get to see all some of the photos and whatnot. But, we were extremely fortunate for the Donnell Foundations and the Donnells to have this facility. You know, you talked about the lights here in back in 1930 is when we first had lights. We played against Bowling Green and we beat them 13-0.
Okay.
You know, so the...
I will see, you'll see like the picture postcards from years gone by, what Donnell Stadium looked like, when it was first built. And obviously, it's just amazing, what we have here today from where it started. I mean, you've got the turf, you've got, lights, you've got the new video board that has just gone up. So that's going to be pretty exciting.
Yes,
so.
Yes. We just hope everything works and and everything goes well. And what it will, we've had Phil Tate, a community member, to help us out with this whole project. So we're certainly fortunate. We also have handrails here at Donnell Stadium. This is fabulous. So we're excited about that. But
yeah. I mean, it looks great. We're ready to go. Now, this is a busy time for you because, obviously this first week of high school football, but all of the fall sports now are underway, right? I know soccer has been underway for about a week. You've got volleyball, tennis, golf, cross country. All of those things are going on. How many events do you have to schedule? I mean, no, this is quite the job.
Yeah, it's, and I love it. It's a, I've always said it's a it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And we're certainly fortunate. We know each year we have over 900 events each year.
Wow.
Approximately 900 athletes too. So, and then you deal with transportation because out of those 900, and then you add the tournaments on into the equation.
Yeah, so. I think that's something that a lot of people don't really realize or think about. Everything that goes into doing what you do, coordinating all of this, for these student athletes to have these experiences, for the community to be able to come out and have these experiences, because you've got to obviously schedule the games, you've got to arrange the transportation, upkeep of the facilities. There's a myriad of things that go into each and every event, and then you do that 900 times or so during the course of the school year.
Yeah, I will say we are extremely fortunate here at Findlay City Schools. We got a fantastic Board of Education administration. John Kelly here with the with the facilities. Our facilities director does a tremendous job, and Bonnie Huff, our new transportation director. So we're extremely fortunate,
and that's not to mention some of the non scholastic events that utilize the facilities as well, not just this facility, but other facilities within the district. So, you've got those things to get. You've got a lot on your plate is what I'm trying to say. You are a busy guy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So it's always entertaining. And, if we want to be able to create, there's only one time to make a first impression with people. And you hope that you provide a great game day experience for each of the people, each of the opponents that come on in and everyone in the Findlay community.
That's
a big part of it too, because, you know, for some of these, you know, obviously for like league opponents, you see them every year or every other year. Some of the other folks that come in, whether it's, you know, like tonight, Medina,
correct,
or when you're hosting tournament games or whatever, you do want to put your best foot forward in order to welcome people in and have them walk away saying, yeah, this is a pretty pretty cool, pretty amazing facility, pretty nice facility.
Yeah, like I said, I had mentioned, we are certainly blessed here in Philly City Schools. We have Medina coming on in the night, first time ever playing them. We have Aurora in volleyball. We play them tomorrow in a tri match with Toledo St. Ursula for volleyball. So, yeah, there's only one time to make a first impression, and we hope that we do a very good job at that.
Let's give a little love. We're going to talk plenty about football all morning long, but let's give a little love to all of those other fall sports. Talk a little bit about the start of the season and some of the other fall sports. So
yes,
far.
We have our first, so as I mentioned, first for volleyball, we have our first match tomorrow. It'll be a tri-match, 11 o'clock tomorrow at Philly High School Gymnasium. We've had our golf season is underway. We've had our girls today are actually at the Faustoria Country Club, and then Our boys are at Mansfield Madison for golf. And then we have our cross country season opens up on Saturday, August 29th.
Okay.
It is, and that's at Fremont. That's our Fremont invite there. Our girls soccer has already opened up their 46th season. We have a big game on Thursday, August 26th, and that's our Gold Rush game. And a Gold Rush is basically an all call for the Finley community. Come on out and watch the boys and girls compete out there. Our boys on August, the day before, will be going up to Northview for that competition there as well. Girls tennis has this nice season that's underway. We're at Defiance tomorrow. And obviously, I think I already mentioned cross country, but we have football here. Mm-hmm. Football here this evening with our cheerleaders as well.
And also, esports are a thing for the Findlay City Schools. Now, talk a little bit about this, because this is still relatively new, but something that is catching on with more and more schools.
Oh, yes. We actually, now that'll be more towards the end of the fall, start of winter.
Okay. So technically a fall sport, but not yet underway.
Yeah. But Susan Blodgett is our head coach, and she does a phenomenal job with all that. And we have, one thing that we're trying to do this year is having buddy teams, and that is basically that we're supporting one another and so forth. But we have our buddy team with esports, so it'll be a jam-packed classroom there to watch our kids compete.
We've talked about this. It's been a while, but when this was originally launched as a thing at the high school level, we talked about this, and some people will look at it and say, is this really a sport? Is this something that the school really needs to do? But at the end of the day, it's a way of getting more people involved, more of the kids involved.
Oh, yes. I tell you, one thing I've always believed in is our mission of Findlay City Schools, and that's excellence, opportunity, belonging. And this is an exceptional opportunity for people, individuals. We have at Findlay High School 34 varsity sports, 72 high school teams, and 96 teams overall, with counting the middle school.
Wow.
So we believe in opportunities. We believe in having kids involved.
Yeah. So, again, the football opener is tonight. You've got everything else going on across all of these other sports. And the Trojan Athletic website has all of the information.
Yes, FinlayTrojans.com. Thank you very much for mentioning that. FinlayTrojans.com is where you can go to the website, see game schedules, ticket information, you know, everything. And it's 2026, right? So you can get tickets online. You can cash.
You
sales.
Don't have to go through Ticketmaster.
Yes, no.
You can do those on.
But we also offer the opportunity to purchase at the gate as well, you know, with cash sales.
Okay. So 7 o'clock tonight.
7 o'clock kickoff tonight. Here for 130th year of Trojan football. And, you know, we're celebrating, this is the 98th year of Tynell Stadium, right? So 1928 it opened up. So we're excited. We're ready to go.
Yeah. And by the way, and we've got just a couple of minutes here too, shout out to all of the community members that helped make all of this happen, because
Absolutely.
You know, obviously the education budget is what it is, and that's been in the news and all of this. This doesn't happen without the community support. You look out here at Donnell Stadium, the turf and the video board and, you know, all of this. It's boosters, it's private donations, it's all of that.
Yeah, we can't thank our booster club enough, and then our community sponsors that we have. You know, you have, you know, hundreds of companies that come on in and help. You know, Ohio Logistics, National Lyman Stone. And,
yeah.
I mean, we're certainly fortunate to what we have.
Yeah. So if you haven't had a chance to get out and support these student athletes, tonight is the night for football. All of these other sports. There's something going on just about every night. You can come out
every night. I've always said, if you're bored, it's your fault, because we've got opportunities. We've got a lot of kids. Our kids are doing some amazing things out there, and you know, we ask them. We encourage you to come on out and watch them.
Finley Athletic Director Nate Wyraw with us this morning, getting things started at Donnell Stadium for the kickoff of the high school football season tonight. Nate, thanks for all your assistance in setting this up, helping get us in the press box here, and we look forward to a great season of Trojan football.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
Our coverage of high school football tonight begins with tonight in high school football just after 6 o'clock. And then the pregame Medina coming to town for the first time ever to take on the Trojans tonight. The Battling Bees. Medina, in case you wonder. The Battling Bees will be in town. So they are busy getting things ready here at Donnell Stadium, where we are on location this morning. They're hanging the banners and getting everything ready for week number one. And our show here at Donnell Stadium, presented by Taylor Automotive of Finley. And thanks to Taylor Automotive for their support of high school athletics. You know, by the way, technically, the football season started on Monday. I don't know if anybody played on Monday. You know, maybe you had a Monday night football game. I don't know. Who does that in high school? But technically, the season started, according to the OHSAA. Teams could start playing week one games on Monday. And some key dates, speaking of which, with respect to the high school football season, first round of the OHSAA playoffs will begin on October 30th. The day before Halloween is when the playoffs start. The state semifinals will be played on November 27th, the day after Thanksgiving. All the playoff games this year scheduled to be held on Fridays, and higher-seeded teams will host in the first three rounds. Neutral sites will start to be assigned by the OHSAA, beginning with the regional finals. Championship games for the high school football season will be December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And heading into this year, the Trojans drop from Division I last year to Division II this year, Division II Region 6, which puts Finley in the same region as Anthony Wayne, Toledo Central Catholic, Fremont Ross, Springfield, St. Francis. There are three D1 opponents on the Trojan schedule this year, one of which is tonight, Medina, along with Perrysburg and Whitmer. The rest of the schedule are Division II teams, Lima Senior, Springfield, Southview, Ross, Clay, Northview, and Anthony Wayne. In addition to tonight's opener against the Battling Bees, the home schedule for the Trojans includes games against Southview, Ross, Perrysburg, and Whitmer. So the three biggest teams on the schedule are all coming to Donnell Stadium. So score one for the Trojans on that one. And by the way, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, not just Trojans football. Obviously, every high school football team around the area opening up tonight, and we're going to talk more about that a little bit later in the program. But the big story among the county schools is the NLL adding Liberty Benton to their ranks. Liberty Benton joining the Northern Lakes League this season. And with that, you know, the Eagles, which are, by the way, Division 5,
Region 18, Division 5, but they share six opponents with the Trojans this year. Six out of the 10 regular season opponents are shared between Findlay and Liberty Benton. That would be Northview, Southview, Clay, Springfield, Fremont Ross, and Anthony Wayne. It's going to be an interesting season for the Eagles. And again, we'll talk more about that as we get a little bit deeper into the program here. A couple of other items. Among the first things you need to know this morning as we get your TGI Friday morning started. Since we're on the topic of schools and high school athletics and all of that, Ohio is now the first state in the nation to require public schools to adopt a formal policy on artificial intelligence in the classroom, in and outside the classroom, by students, usage of AI by students. There is a new state law which is directing districts to submit their own AI guidelines for this school year, or if they don't create their own, to implement the policy put together by the Ohio Department of Education. This is kind of a similar thing with regard to cell phone restrictions. You remember what last year before, they required districts to put together their own policy or follow the state guidelines. Same deal here for AI. Approved policies include rules on appropriate and inappropriate usages of artificial intelligence for both students and staff. Guidelines also cover rules for enforcement and strategies for preventing cheating on assignments by students. So kind of interesting story to follow as the new school year gets underway. A couple of other Ohio-related stories on the newswire that are worth sharing this morning. The Ohio BMV is no longer accepting a form to change gender identification on driver's licenses. The Bureau is now requiring updated birth certificates or passports to confirm a change of gender. You can no longer just fill out a form and turn that into the DMV. The policy is based on an update to state law included in the latest Ohio budget. Advocacy groups are criticizing the BMV over the rule, but specifically a spokesperson with Equality Ohio says the move was an intentional decision to make life harder for transgender Ohioans. Okay, make of that what you will, but put that out there. Kind of interesting. Let's see, what else is going on? Speaking of Ohio stories, and since we're on the topic of sports, jump ahead to basketball. The Ohio State men's basketball non-conference schedule has been released. The season will start with a road game at BYU on November 2nd. So if you're already looking forward to basketball, November 2nd for the men's basketball team to open up at BYU. The Buckeyes will play 8 of 12 non-conference games at home this season. Even though they start on the road, 8 out of 12 will be at home. Matchups against UConn, Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, and Kansas are all planned before the end of December. The home opener is scheduled against Youngstown State on November 6th. And one other item here to make note of, and this has nothing to do with sports or the state of Ohio or anything, but I found this interesting. This is definitely one of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started. Grand Theft Auto 6. Apparently, now I'm not a video gamer, so I'm not really familiar with all of this, but for those who are, this is a highly anticipated game that I guess is coming out later this year in November. And it is serving, this video game, Grand Theft Auto 6, is serving as a tool for at least one unit in the U.S. Army to encourage soldiers to re-enlist. Let me explain. A unit in Georgia is offering active duty soldiers a four-day pass in November to allow them four solid days to play the year's most anticipated video game when it is released. All you have to do is re-up. All you have to do is re-enlist. According to this division of the Army, and I don't know specifically what unit. I know it's a unit in Georgia. I don't know all the particulars. But according to what the story says here, the offer is available to soldiers who re-enlist for a minimum of 2 years between now and November 14th. A statement to Variety, the industry newspaper, says that the idea is to have a unique incentives program that connects to what soldiers are interested in. Well, okay then. That is rather unusual. But hey, if it works and it keeps those soldiers in the fold, I guess you can't argue with it. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories there to get your Friday morning started. What a gorgeous morning here at Donnell Stadium. We are on location at Donnell for the kickoff of the high school football season. Our broadcast presented by Taylor Automotive of Findlay. And we are joined here in the press box by Trojans head coach Stephan Adams. Are you ready? I mean, is the team ready? That's the big question.
It's funny, over the years of my tone of my conversation has been so intentional with this question, and I say, after last night's practice, mm-hmm. I feel they are prepared, I feel they're excited and ready to go, but if you would have asked me Tuesday, or prepared.
So, do you get nervous? I mean, it's opening opening night, and, you know, it's a brand new year.
Yep. I get the jitters, you get excited, mm-hmm. You're the anticipation, the first home game, you think about a lot of things, and then reality as a head coach kind of sets in.
Yeah.
And I usually feel like around 7 o'clock is when I usually calm down, actually, because you just want so many things to go right and smooth before you get to the game.
Right.
And what people maybe not know is I'm making sure all the equipment is working, mm-hmm. making sure every kid is accounted for, making sure kids have all the equipment that, it's all those things.
That's a big part people really don't realize, yep. is that for a coach of any sport, at the high school level, it's a little bit different than at college or certainly in the pro ranks.
Correct.
Where you can just focus on the job at hand. You've got so many other things that really fall on the coach.
Yeah, so there's so many elements to it, and there's so many just little small details, you know. And I'm usually my calmest, and when I say calm, I'm not like frantic, but just like, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? My focus mm-hmm. doesn't go fully to the game until that ball is ready to get kicked off, because that tells me that we finally made it, and everything up to that point hopefully has gone smooth and well. Yeah. But you're right; we wear a lot of hats, and mm-hmm. the other part. Think about this. I mean, I still have a full school day.
Right.
I still have to go over and still, give my all to our student population as well, mm-hmm. too. So it's a long day. I don't think people realize that. We don't get, leave school early and go hang out until the game starts. No, mm-hmm. it's right at it.
Yeah.
So these kids deserve a lot of credit, as well as other coaches as well, too.
So how does the team look? I know that's kind of a cliche type question, but what are you most excited for heading into this season?
I'm just excited to watch our kids continue to grow and develop. We've really put a premium on the idea of growth and getting better. We talked about our motto, and something that really hit me in my soul and that we've kind of put out there is kind of closing the gap. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It means really just closing the gap between where you are now and where your potential is. So we've talked about potential is like somewhere down there where you can't see.
Yeah.
Are you still willing to show up and do the work every day to get a little closer to mm-hmm. where you can be the best? So I'm just excited to watch our kids go out there and be the best versions of themselves at this moment.
How do you get ready for, because we were talking a little bit earlier with Nate, the fact that you've got Medina coming in tonight.
Correct.
This is a team that you haven't seen before.
Right.
You haven't played them before. So how do you get ready for, it's one thing to get ready for an Anthony Wayne or Fremont Ross.
Correct.
They're a known quantity, but this is a different animal.
Yeah, so, just even the process of it, and try to make it not too wordy. when you're looking for a game one, my thought process and working with, you know, Mr. Wireout is, hey, how do we, you know, we're going to be in region one at the time. Mm-hmm. I like to be able to play a team that's in the same region because right. these games are scheduled out years in advance.
Right.
And yeah. then I'd like to be able to play a, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, finish that thought because I had a follow up on
no,
that.
No, I said, like, you want to play a team in another region. You know, it's like, all right, well, we feel the best when, how do we stack up? Because Finley's kind of in a very interesting area, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, where we're not maybe as close to a lot of other schools, like a Columbus or a Dayton or a Cleveland area.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's good to have some kind of familiarity and kind of get a figure out, like, hey, we play this team. Here's where we ended up in the region rankings. Mm-hmm. We feel we stack up pretty good. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
But we felt like the storyline was the same for both of us when we talked to head coaches, mm-hmm. and it just made sense to have this game at the time.
As you mentioned, when this game was scheduled, Finley, the Trojans were Division I. You have since slipped out to Division II. I don't want to say slipped. I mean, you've just moved to Division II. First time maybe ever that Finley has not been D1. I can't remember any time when Finley has been anything but D1. Does that change anything at all? I mean, you know, how do you...
Yeah. Well...
I know you don't want to look forward to the playoffs in week one,
right.
but, you know, it has some implications there and all of
that. Well, there's a two-part of this. And once again, I want to make sure I get my point across on this, too. One, I think the thing about it, the drop-down is due to numbers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody says, hey, is there a decline in Finley? There's no decline in Finley. Kids have gone online.
Mm-hmm.
Kids need to get their butts back in school. Right? Physically.
Yeah.
It's my opinion. Right? Okay. I'm not saying it's for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's not like we're a dying town.
Right.
By any means.
Oh,
if anything, we're growing and we're thriving.
Mm-hmm.
That number got hit for kids going online, and that's what
I wonder how much of that also is other schools getting bigger or other teams getting bigger.
No. It's more just a decline in that numbers,
right?
Because so before where the numbers, you know, if you were an online student, you know, at a certain place, some of those numbers still counted for us. They don't count for us anymore.
Uh-huh.
So that's the kind of drop off there. So, you know, that's not we're thriving. It'll turn back around. I can assure you that. But, you know, as far as how we prepare for what's now and the future in the region, you know, it is what it is, right? At the end of the day, no matter where you end up, to get in the playoffs, you got to have so many teams that make it.
Right.
And at the same time, you have to go out there and play and produce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that matters, no matter what region, wherever you are. So that's how we kind of approach it.
Again, and I know you don't want to look ahead playoffs at week number one. I get that. But does being in D2 with the likes of, I mean, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. You've got Ross in the same region. You've got, let me see here, Anthony Wayne, Central Catholic, Springfield, St. Francis.
Yep.
Does it make it any easier? You've got mostly D2 teams on the schedule. So does this make it any easier?
What it gives you is done that calculus. Yeah. What it gives you, I guess, more than maybe some other times is like we were the previous region we were in.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a Columbus and Dayton region.
Yeah.
So we were familiar with them because we've played some of those teams before
sure.
and there's some familiarity over the course of years. In this one, I think the pros are there are still a lot of teams within a region that give you, if the matchups happen, it gives you a better driving distance, right?
Yeah.
And when it comes to a good driving distance, what you're also thinking about is your fans, right? How well can you travel and be supportive at a game? This, you know, gives us still more teams that are in our or close range.
Right.
But still on the end of it, if you might end up back in Cleveland as well, too.
Right.
So does it make it any different? At the end of the day, you have to go out there and play football.
That's the bottom line.
That's how we're going to approach it. You know, we had some opportunities to look to go up to Division I if we wanted to request up. And, you know, we felt like it was just best at that time without kind of knowing where we would end up to stay maybe in a region where we could play some closer games rather than finding ourselves 2.5 hours away.
Yeah. Well, it all starts tonight. Medina coming to town. Talk really quickly about this game. What will be the key to getting off to a quick start?
Well, you just took one part out of my mouth.
Get
off to a quick start.
Yeah.
You know, we can't wait. You know, I told the guys before, like, there has to be a thing. We can't settle into a game. We have to go out. We're at home. Got a great opportunity to set the tone for the school year.
Mm.
People are going to be here watching, but the main focus is getting out to a good start, blocking on the perimeter, tackling in space because they're going to want to really space us out, and then taking advantage when we're in the red zone. We have to score touchdowns.
And fortunately, You've got a great day.
Great day.
What a great day for it. Yep. I mean, beautiful. You couldn't ask for better weather for a kickoff tonight. Again, Trojan head coach Stephan Adams, thanks very much for dropping by.
I want to say good luck to all the other Hancock County coaches and all the guys in the area getting ready for Friday night. This is a special day. So good luck to everybody and go Trojans.
In the news business, there are two separate and distinct groups. Breaking news and the news that is already broken. These are their stories.
An 18-year-old in Shreveport, Louisiana, is facing charges after allegedly stealing snacks from a local convenience store and then returning while police were still on the scene. It happened just after midnight on Tuesday, around 12:34, specifically, according to the police report. John Alex Jordan allegedly walked out of a Circle K without paying for three packages of donuts, two honey buns, a pound cake, a fountain drink, all totaling $19.88. Officers were called and searched the area but could not locate the thief. But they needn't have bothered because Mr. Jordan returned to the store shortly after and was detained. I don't know if he came back. I forgot to steal something. Sorry. The investigation then also linked him to a separate burglary at the local Elks Lodge. And they also discovered an outstanding theft warrant besides that. So it was more than just the $19 worth of donuts and honey buns. Elsewhere in the broken news, residents of Narragansett, Rhode Island, had their own version of Squid Game last weekend. According to state police, a roadway in the town had to be closed for around 8 hours because of a tractor-trailer overturning and spilling 20 tons of squid onto the highway. Ugh. Video of the aftermath shows piles and piles of raw squid on the street. The truck driver was uninjured, but not so much the nostrils of local residents, I don't think. And finally, in the broken news this morning, Central Florida Congressman Randy Fine is accused of snooping through a voter's mailbox while canvassing goods for head of the Republican primary. That's probably not a way to endear people to your cause if you're snooping through their mail. Surveillance footage shows him sifting through envelopes, although he did not remove or tamper with any of the mail. But Congressman Fine's office confirmed that he was indeed the man in the doorbell video rifling through mailboxes. By the way, he went on to win earlier this week in Florida with nearly 57% of the vote. So I guess people are okay with it. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Hey, we are live on location at Donnell Stadium, kicking off the 2026 high school football season. Our broadcast presented by Taylor Automotive of Findlay, and we are in the press box. I am humbled to have with us in the press box. I feel like, you know, this is my, you know, I'm invading your space. I'm not welcoming you into the show. You're welcoming me into your space here in the press box, because this is where the magic happens. Tim Montgomery and Cliff Height are going to be on hand to call all the action once again every Friday night, beginning this evening, and this is where it all happens. Would you believe that I have never been in this room before?
Really?
I have never.
I mean, all the stuff
room.
You've done, I mean, I know. I would have thought that at one point you would have been in here. No, this is second home in many cases. between both the Trojans and the Oilers. I spend quite a bit of time in here and have for the last 25 years. So, yeah. And actually even goes back to high school, Trojan television days, and we'd do games. Now, back then, it was a completely different press box back in those days. It looked like somebody took a piece of a battleship off and just plunked it at the top of the bleachers here. But, yeah, this is one of my favorite places.
I can see why.
Yeah.
This is absolutely
gorgeous. Spectacular. And, you know, I was interviewing Luke Weirau for the university a week and a half ago, and he talked about every single game he's ever played of football, junior high school, home game, and university, has been on this stadium, and how special that makes this place for him and his brother, and to some degree even his dad. So, and that's kind of how I feel about it over all these years.
Yeah. What is that like on a Friday night? Give us, for those who listen and tune in. I mean, we were talking with Stefan Adams earlier, Coach Adams, about, you know, do you get nervous before a game? Do you get the butterflies? What is it like? What do you go through mentally getting ready, especially like week one? You got a new season starting.
Yeah, the thing that I think a lot of people don't understand, and they don't have to understand, it's not like I'm saying please listen or anything, but is how much time goes in before we ever get here Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the team.
Yeah.
I mean, completely different stuff. But people are always amazed that I watch 6, 8, 10 hours of film between the two teams. You spend time talking with coach, you go through, you look at past records and past matchups. I journal, I've always journaled games. And so I'll go back and check the old journals, and get ready. The first time, after I took over, 6 years ago, that first game, I was nervous. I really was.
Yeah.
Cause I knew there were a lot of people listening and I knew there was a lot of expectation.
Now, and now with the internet, they listen all over.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Cliff will tell you, we get messages in the middle of the game from Florida, Arizona, all over the place, and hey guys, we're listening. And we try to give them shout outs back as best we can. But you know, when you get here though, on a Friday, it's actually kind of like coming home, in the sense that same people are at the front gate, right? You say hi to them. You're coming up. You talk with Jim Welch a little bit about the stat package and making sure the stat side is up. You talk with Tim Babcock, and he gives me a set of pronunciations in case I had some of them wrong, which I almost always do. I try to keep Cliff out of the popcorn, at least to some degree.
Well, I was going to say, you're talking about all of the preparation that you do. Cliff, you do a little bit less preparation, I'm guessing, right?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He took care of the assistant coaches took care of it back in the day. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I want to bring Cliff into the conversation here, because if anybody in this room would know, you would know, because we were talking about this a little bit earlier on the program about different mascot names. And, you know, how teams settle on mascot, because you've got the Battling Bees coming tonight. So there's got to be a story behind the Battling Bees.
And I don't know what it is. Same thing, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
And then it got me to thinking, I don't even know why the Trojans. Do you?
No.
Do you know the story?
I don't. I do know this. I know why we're blue and gold, because we lost to Fostoria, but that's a story. That's a true story, right, Tim?
Yeah, the Battle of the Colors. Finley was originally red and black. Just
really?
Like Fostoria.
Way back.
Okay. The Trojans, but they were red and black. That's why Old Central Middle School, which was the old high school, was red and white, because it was just holding on to the colors, and they were the Spartans instead of the Trojans, because you could use the same logo at the end of the day. But yeah, it famously goes back that it was the battle for the colors between Fostoria and Finley, and the winner got to keep the colors,
and
we lost. Now, no offense to my friends at Macomb and other in Arlington, but I prefer blue and gold over the red and black. So it worked out in the long run. Blue's much more in my palate.
So, but there's got to be a story. You don't know the story.
About the bees?
No. Well,
the Trojans. No, I have no
Trojans?
Idea.
Huh. None. But they've always been the Trojans, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's always
my
been.
My whole life, yeah.
I
mean,
yeah, so. I figured if anybody would know.
No, I don't
You would
know.
Probably.
I really don't
it
know.
It would be you. Because you were probably around for those early years.
If anybody knows in this town, it would be Jim Rooker.
And I'll probably get a message sometime here in the next 15 minutes if he does in that process.
Or Brian Fruits, you might know.
First, you might know as well.
So you've been getting ready for the Battling Bees. What stands out to you?
They are intentionally unusual, and I mean that as a compliment. I truly do. It kind of reminds me of a Cliff Height offense on steroids in the sense that they're going to throw a lot of different things at you. And they know half of them aren't going to work, and that's okay because it has you guessing. And they're going to hit a couple of them in the process. They're very creative. Defense is interesting. They historically are a three-man front. They brought in a head coach from Brunswick, which will be interesting for them in a few weeks when they go play Brunswick. Brought in a new D coordinator from there, and he's changing them over to a 4-2-5. So you don't have quite as much look at what it is that they're going to bring. I was talking with offensive coordinator Matt Best. He goes, if they do what we expect, I think we're all right. Is what Matt Best told me. He goes, but there's always that part of, are they going to do something different?
Yeah.
And because, again, as you point out, it's week one. You never know.
Yeah. Flip side, when you look at the Trojans this year, what jumps out at you?
The guys have received the pool at receiver and running back are incredibly impressive. And Riley's main job is to be John Stockton, to be frankly honest, at the end of the day, the quarterback, and that is get the ball to the right guys at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be spectacular. He has the potential to be spectacular. We both are big Riley fans, but he doesn't have to be. You got Carter Imke out on the outside. You got Ramir Williams, plus you got a couple of guys behind each of those guys. I mean, we're going to probably see seven different receivers tonight in different packages, all who could play a part in this. Defensively, our two defensive ends are as good as we put through here in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I call them bump and thump, they're going to put – they're those guys who, when you watch even scrimmage film or game film, they just kind of jump off the screen at you like, whoa,
yeah.
Who are those guys?
Yeah. So a lot of reasons to be excited.
I think so. I think this is a good matchup for both teams. I think Coach Adams talked about that for Medina and Finley, both in a bit of a little mini transition in the process. So I think it's good for both of them. If the Trojans can find a way to get this one, then I like the way the schedule lays out for them to build confidence.
Yeah, I want to ask a little bit about that schedule because we were talking about it a little bit earlier, mostly D2 schools. Of course, Finley now is in D2. But the three biggest ones, Medina tonight, you've got Whitmer and Perrysburg, the three D1 schools, and they're all here.
Right.
So that's kind of nice.
The funny is the conference schedule makers really either hate Finley or love Finley. And I keep on asking Nate, what did he do to make somebody mad? Because think about it. Arguably, on a season in and season out basis, your two biggest games are Whitmer and Perrysburg, and they're back to back. And they're either both there or they're both here. There is no change up in that. And that's pretty brutal. And then you get a week where you have Northview, who is an up and coming program, but then you got to come back with Anthony Wayne, who just gives us fits for whatever reason. They just give us fits in the process. You know, I heard your guys' conversation about the D1, D2 thing.
Yeah.
And there's so many people, I think, I understand the ego about it to some degree, but people need to understand it's just a number.
Right.
At the end of the day, it has nothing to do referencing quality. Cliff and I have talked about
absolutely.
This a dozen times over the years, that sometimes the best team in the state of Ohio was Division II or Division – I know I say you, but other people.
Well, no. And you know, does anybody question the quality of Marion Local?
Correct. Exactly correct. I mean, and they're one of those ones that I would say are sometimes six. But, yeah, depending on how the numbers fall from year to year. But there are times that D2, that D3, or to your point, that D17 might be the best team in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the quality of a team. And so, again, you're right. In my lifetime, I grew up here. I went to school here.
Yeah.
I've called over 250 Finley Trojan games. We have never, as a matter of fact, my senior year, we were the sixth biggest high school in the state of Ohio.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just tuitions shift and fluctuate over time. And then you add the electronic part of it that Coach Adams was talking about.
Right.
And it affects the numbers.
And the way they count.
And the way they count.
You know, that's the other thing. Sometimes it's not anything that you do. It's just the way they count.
The one thing that nobody's talking about is when you were in D1, you had to win two games. You're in the playoffs. That's all you had to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to have to win six or seven probably to get in. And that makes it a whole different level of thinking when it comes to your season. I mean, really, in fact, I think there was a team that was 0-10 or 1-9 that got in a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And so that changes that dynamic as well.
As we mentioned, most of the schedule is a D2 schedule, right, which if you are also D2 helps you more than if you're a D1 playing a D2 schedule.
Right, right. You know, as far as quality points and those kind of things.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Well, and it makes sense. And this has been coming for a while. I mean, to be honest, most people who know have been looking at the number postings every summer because Finley's been riding that line for the last couple of years. Yeah. This was going to happen at some point, especially once you went 7 divisions. This was going to happen.
Right.
And that's part of the move to the conference a few years ago because it's more in line with schools of the same size.
And as we're talking about all of this, and again, kind of new for Finley to be going through all of this, there are a lot of schools out there. You mentioned Marion Local flips between 7 and 6 all the time. Liberty Benton is, you know,
three, four.
Ottawa Glandorf. You know, there are a lot of schools that this is an every couple of year thing.
Oh, it is a very regular thing in the WBL. It's a very regular thing there.
So it's not unfamiliar. And I can hear a lot of folks say, hey, welcome to the club. This is what we deal with.
Correct. Yeah. And the only real problem I had with it is, and Coach Adams, they had the option to stay one. You could opt to stay.
Right.
But the problem was it created so many question marks about where are you going to end up being in the postseason? Are you going to have to drive all the way to St. Ignatius or Lakewood St. Ed's? You know, and is that fair to your fan base and even to the district from a financial standpoint?
Or to the kids.
Or to the kids, right? And so that's why they elected to stay there, because you have, as you point out, most of these teams around here are D2. You got a better idea of where you're going to be playoff-wise.
Yeah. It's going to be a terrific season. Kicks off tonight, and you couldn't ask for better weather.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Hey, guys, thanks for allowing us to invade your space here.
I'm glad to have you. Stop by anytime.
He's in my seat.
Well, I was going to say, Cliff goes and gets popcorn 2-3 times a game. You could slide right on in, do a couple of plays.
Finley Trojan broadcast team of Tim Montgomery and Cliff Height going to be calling all of the action once again this year. And guys, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
So what would a football game under the Friday night lights be without the band? Rob Cieslik is new director of the Finley Trojan Marching Band and is with us here at Donnell Stadium this morning, along with you've got
field commanders, assistant directors.
We've got a whole crew here. You brought the entire. So let's introduce everybody. Who have we got here? I want to give everybody credit.
I'm one of the assistant directors, Carrie Wallach, and the other assistant, Katie Farron, couldn't be with us this morning.
I'm not sure we could have fit her in anyway, so it's a rather small room. I did not realize, and I have to apologize, I did not realize, because this is actually my first time in the press box. We were mentioning that a little bit earlier, so I did not realize that it is a bit tight with 6 people in here. So, but who else have we got here?
I'm Bronson Heck, and I'm a field commander this year.
Okay, and?
My name's Katie Kellyphone, and I'm a field commander this year.
And?
I'm Kayla Moyer, the other field commander.
All right, so how many kids in the band this year?
There's just over 100, so like 103, something like that, in the band this year.
That's a good size. Yep. That's a good size. And like we mentioned, new first-time director of the Finley Trojan Marching
Correct.
Band, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, new director here. What's that like, taking over the Trojan Marching Band tradition?
It's actually been great. I've been around the high school, so the transition's been a little bit easier. This is my third year as the Boinger director for FFE, too.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit familiar with the school and a lot of the students, and a lot of them were my old students at St. Michael's. So the transition's been actually really great. Mm-hmm. We started off with 2 days of leadership camp. And they just kind of went up and running, and since then we had band camp, and things have been going really well. So.
You know, this is something that maybe people don't realize, because we talk about the team getting ready and been preparing, and they've been scrimmaging, they've been practicing for a while now. You actually start with the band, I think, even before the football players start
practicing. So we had our first preseason, like, rehearsal in the middle of July, and then we had 2 days of leadership camp and then 2 weeks of band camp before school started.
So you've been at it for a while. Aside from, I mean, obviously, you know, setting the atmosphere, setting the mood for the games, you know, that's, you know, most people's association with the Trojan Marching Band and the halftime show and all of that. Aside from that, what else does the band do? Because that's not it, right?
Well, no, I mean, we're really one of the primary groups that sets the tone for the excitement of the game. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's going to be great this year because there's new cheer coaches. We're going to be collaborating with cheer and Blue Crew in the student section. The band's going to be sitting back in the stands so we can create a really good atmosphere for Friday Night Lights. It's going to be great.
Do you also do other competitions and things like that with the marching band?
We don't compete at this year. Right now, we're just doing Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
But we're looking forward to, in the next couple years, maybe going back to the competitive season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What goes into that? I mean, when you decide, you know, if that's something that you're going to do, or if you want to do, or if you're ready to do, you know, what goes into all of that?
I think it is deciding logically where the fundamentals are with the with the students, if we're ready musically.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a big gap because you still have to do all the Friday Night Lights things and play the songs that they want to hear on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
But those songs aren't always the best for competitions. So you have to kind of meld them together if you decide to go that route.
Yeah.
So you're still playing appropriate songs for all the people in the stands, Friday Night Lights, and then appropriate things that are going to appease the judges when you go on Saturday.
Yeah, so it is a challenge. A lot goes into it. Again, this is a part of it that I find fascinating because so much happens behind the scenes. The fans come out at 7 o'clock on a Friday night and they see, you know, they see the players, they see the band, they see the cheerleaders, all of that. They don't always realize all of the work that goes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. So. They put on a lot of work. The band's been working super hard. Had them marching out there yesterday. It started to rain. I was like, we're going to get this work done and then go home. So
that's exciting, isn't it, guys? marching in the rain. That's
It's better than
90 degrees, right?
Yeah, that's probably very true because you've done that too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Band camp was actually the first week was actually pretty relatively cool for band camp, and then the second week got up to the high 90s, and it was pretty hot. So.
But at least you weren't in uniform.
That's right.
Those weeks. Yeah. So anyway, what is the show this year?
So our first show is called "And the Music Lives On," and so it's going to be all the songs that kind of live on through generations. So we're starting our show off with a kind of a fanfare arrangement of "Can't Help Falling in Love," and then we're going to do "Blackbird" and "Yesterday" by the Beatles, and then we're going to close this week with some Motown hits, and then a couple shows later we're going to add a medley of Queen tunes. So it's going to be kind of neat. This whole first show, we're going to be adding different songs as we go on.
How often does that halftime show change? It's not every week. There's something.
No, this year we're going to do. Well, we'll do this full show, but we'll add a couple songs for some of the away games.
Okay.
On September 11th, we'll kind of do this half of a show, and then we're going to do a tribute to the military and the service members for September 11th.
Obviously.
And then there'll be a different show for homecoming, 8th grade marcher night, and then our last show of the season will be an America 250 show.
Wow.
So we're doing two full shows and then some kind of 8th grade marcher and alumni shows.
A lot of different pieces to learn. For you guys... What is your favorite part? I mean, do you have a favorite selection of the music that you're doing? Do you have favorites? You gotta have favorites, right?
I think when you're up there conducting "Can't Help Falling in Love" and then you're just hit with a wall of sound, I think that's like a very like emotion no one experiences often, and it's so like big and loud in your face, and it's just amazing. It feels great, being up there.
Is that what kind of keeps you doing this? You mentioned it's a lot of work. You're sometimes out there marching in unbearable heat in the uniforms, in the rain. When we get later in the season, it'll be in the cold. So what keeps you doing it?
For me, I think it's the community and how the group comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us only plays one instrument and has one part, but together we come together and play music that's bigger than any one of us.
Mm-hmm. You're over here the strong silent type today. What's your favorite part of this whole experience, Findlay Georgia Marching Band?
I think for me it'd be seeing the drill improve from the first time we all learned it. It looked like you don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
But then at this point, you could definitely tell, and it looks really good.
Yeah.
Now, the three of you, are you all seniors?
No, I'm a junior.
You're a junior?
Yeah.
Okay, and you two are seniors. Are you looking at pursuing a career path that includes music?
I am not professionally. However, I definitely want to keep going with music as like a hobby and community.
Yeah.
And doing like civic bands, community bands, that sort of thing.
Plenty of opportunities. What about the two of you? Any music related profession in your future, perhaps?
For me, also probably not. But I think music has been such a big part of my life, where I think in the future I'm just going to be more connected to it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would also play in like community bands and continue with my passion for music, even if it's not what I want to professionally
do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think same here, just like doing it in the future just for fun.
So, in other words, none of you are going to threaten a director a job. You're not a threat to so, okay, I just wanted to make sure that we clear that up. Guys, thanks very much for dropping by. It is we're looking forward to a great season. Like we said, the band without the band, it would not be, Friday night would not be the same. So we do appreciate it, and we appreciate all of the time that you put in, and thanks for dropping by this morning. I know you made a great sacrifice being out of class to be here. So again, Rob Cieslik, the new director of the Findlay Trojan Marching Band, with us in the press box here at Donnell Stadium as we kick off another high school football season. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. And Cliff Hyten is still talking.
Yeah, sure.
I tried to shut up.
Now that we're coming to the end of summer and school's back in session, I thought this was kind of interesting. Pew Research is out with their numbers on federal employment data for U.S. teens. They say that teenagers between 16 and 19, 35.5% of U.S. teens held a job during the summer of 2026, a paying job, the summer of 2026. That is up from 33.8% last summer, but still well below the all-time peak of 58%. And you know when that was? 1978. So this has been a lot of fun here at Donnell Stadium this morning as we kick off another high school football season on location. Thanks to the folks at Taylor Automotive of Findlay for making it possible. And as we were mentioning a little bit earlier, this is kind of our discount game day setup here. We don't have quite the budget of ESPN, but it has been a lot of fun being on location and having everybody stop by and see us. This has been a great time. This would ordinarily be the portion of the program where you do headgear picks. We're not going to do that either. But John Marshall is with us. We're talking about Trojan football and all of the other Trojan sports, obviously, that are already underway and that will get underway tonight here on this field at Donnell Stadium. But all of the area teams going to be kicking off. Nobody played already. We mentioned earlier.
Indeed, we did.
We did?
Yeah.
We did. Who played early?
Over on WKXA last night, we had Pandora Gilboa at Columbus Grove.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can hear that. Go to the Sports Audio Archive.
Get the plug
see,
in.
See, that's right.
Absolutely.
Columbus Grove, a 42-12 win over Pandora Gilboa. And Lipsick was on the road, went over to Tiffin and beat Calvert by a score of 40-3 last night.
Well, we mentioned a little bit earlier that technically the high school season, according to the OHSAA calendar, started Monday. So if you'd wanted to do Monday night football for high school, you could have done that this year. So anyway.
Yeah, TM.
I don't know if you could call it Monday Night
Right,
Football.
Yes.
Monday Night Lights. Anyway, John Marshall is with us here in the press box. And let's talk a little bit about some of the other schools around our area. First of all, and we were talking about this yesterday on the program from the Coach's Corner earlier in the week, something really special this year at Arlington. And it's just going to be really special for the Red Devils every week they take to that field.
It is. Arlington built a new school, tore down the old one, And while they were taking care of that project, they also tore everything down around the football field. Now, Doncaster Field is sacred there, but they tore everything else down,
yeah.
Built a fantastic new facility, big grandstand, really mm-hmm. nice press box. That's very important to me. grandstand on the visitor's side as well.
Right.
They spiffed everything up. It really looks great. They have a very nice entrance. With an arch over the top and everything, with ticket booths and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's just really a fantastic facility. They've always been big into football at Arlington, and
now they've got the facility to really reflect that.
Indeed, yeah. It's really special because last fall they announced that they were going to name it Doncaster Field at Joe Metzger Stadium. Joe mm-hmm. Metzger, the yeah. Longtime football coach in the 70s up to around 2000. He took a 3 or 4 year sabbatical in the middle there, but mm-hmm. He did so many good things for that program, for that school, and he really was an important part of keeping the tradition that Doncaster started,
right?
Keeping that rolling.
Yeah, for that generation after Doncaster, he was Arlington football.
Indeed.
For a lot of folks. And so let's talk a little bit about the Red Devils and all of those BVC teams. A different BVC this year with the departure of Liberty Benton, which we'll get to in just a moment. But where does that leave the rest of the BVC? What is the hierarchy here with the Eagles no longer... I guess the rest of the BVC not in a race for second place, basically.
Right. Yeah. And with Liberty Benton, the size of them, they had so many more kids to choose from. Now,
right.
Granted, they had have soccer and golf and all the other
right.
things.
Right.
So they were splitting them up. But elsewhere in the BVC, Lipsick had a very good team last year, made it to the regional finals and got beat by Columbus Grove, who then got beat in the state semis by St. Henry, the eventual state champion. But and both of those games very close. But Lipsick graduated a few, but they have an awful lot back. And they showed it last night when they beat Calvert. So really got things going there. I think consensus is Lipsick is the team to beat in the Blanchard Valley Conference this year.
Yeah. What about those traditional, we talk about the departure of Liberty Benton, and there's certainly a lot of argument that maybe it was time for them to move on and all of that, without rehashing all of that, because there are very strong opinions on all sides of that argument or that debate. But the one thing that I am a bit melancholy about is that you lose those historical community rivalries of neighboring schools. Some of those games between the Eagles and Macomb and Arlington, Pandora Gilboa, even Corey Rawson for many years before they departed the BVC. Those were legendary. They had some legendary shootouts and big boys punching each other in the mouth, and you do lose something with that.
Right. The last 15 years or so, the last game of the season has been Liberty Benton and Macomb.
Yeah.
And about
with good reason.
95% of the time, the winner of that game was either going to be the mm-hmm. champion of the league, or they were going to be the spoiler for the other.
And remember a couple of years ago when Arlington knocked off Liberty Benton after how many years of trying and the celebration
there. I think it was like
24,
there. Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the things that you lose. And again, I understand that. But when you, I understand the reason behind it, but when you look at those other kind of traditional powerhouse teams like the Arlingtons, the Macombs, and so what are they bringing to the table this year?
Macomb is a little smaller. They're fewer in numbers than they have been, but mm-hmm. And they are physically smaller, I understand. They don't have the Cherry brothers who were 6'6" and 900 pounds and nimble. They don't have that. But what they do have is, my understanding is, a little bit smaller, but again, really super nimble and quick on their feet. They graduated their quarterback and some other key players, so it's going to be a matter of deciding who fits in what position, what slot, and they will get things going tonight. Macomb plays Monroeville at home at Doc Miller Field over at Macomb tonight. So Macomb is, of course, always in the discussion. Arlington, they play Elgin tonight there at Joe Metzger Stadium, Doc Castor Field.
That's and the game on WKXA tonight,
that's
right.
Yep. Pre-game is at 6:35, kickoff 7 o'clock over on WKXA and WKXA.com. Arlington graduated again. They graduated a three-year starter at quarterback. But that's the thing with high school football. Unlike college, where you may have a guy for 5, 6, 7 years, in high school, you only get 4 years, and then you're gone.
Yeah.
And so you it's always a state of flux. And Columbus Grove last year was a perfect example of that. They were in the state semifinals. They started off 0-3 and then went on a run that took them all the way to the state semis. Yeah. So it's a matter of getting people in the right places and understanding
coming together
their
at the right time. Yeah. And let's talk about Liberty Benton. New conference. So no longer in the Blanchard Valley Conference. So now a member of the Northern Lakes League. And I think we were mentioned a little bit earlier on the program. They share six common opponents with the Findlay Trojans.
That's right. Yeah.
Six. And that's, of course, because of, you know, the crossover games and all on both sides. But as a D5 school, they play basically a full D2 schedule. They've got a couple of Division III opponents in there in BG and Napoleon. But Division II schedule, this is a big jump. I know they've got really high expectations. They're talking a big game. They're going to be ready, but are they really going to be ready for what they're going to face in the NLL?
Well, they do have the opportunity. They start with Ottawa Glandorf tonight.
Right.
That over on 106.3 The Fox and 106.3thefox.com. Got to get the plug in once again.
And then they have Columbus Grove.
Correct. Yeah. And Columbus Grove showed last night that even though they have a freshman quarterback, they will be a team to deal with.
But this is a perfect example of what we're talking about. They play Grove, and then the next week, week three, I think they go to Northview, and Northview or Southview, and then their first home game in the Northern Lakes League is Anthony Wayne.
Right.
So they're going from back-to-back home games from Columbus Grove to Anthony Wayne.
Right.
That's a big difference.
Indeed.
That's a big difference.
It is size-wise, and I'm not going to disparage Columbus Grove because, by golly, they play some top-quality football.
Absolutely.
But you just don't have the numbers.
But there's,
so.
There's a reality there.
Right.
I mean, there is a reality there that there's a reason why there are seven divisions in
right.
high
exactly.
school football. This is a big... Now, the upside for Liberty Benton is that as a D5 school, with the way the numbers work, if you can go, they might get into the playoffs at 3-7.
That is plausible. Even more likely had it been still 16 teams instead of the 12 that they cut it down to last year. But
you knock off a couple of those D2 games, D2 teams, whoever they might be, that might be... You know, that may be enough.
Yeah, beat a couple of those bigger schools make sure that they get a couple of good wins as well.
Yeah.
And you're right, Liberty Benton going from being the big fish in the small pond to the little fish in a much bigger ocean. It'll be interesting.
We look forward to it all year long. Again, John Marshall with Coach's Corner on Wednesdays here on WFIN, and then calling the BBC games over on 100.5 WKXA and WKXA.com. And thanks very much for dropping by and talking with us this morning.
Glad to be here, sir.
Have a great season.
And that is our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on this special high school football kickoff edition on location at Donnell Stadium, presented by Taylor Automotive of Findlay. Remember, you can check out our official high school football scoreboard at the website goodmornings.com. www.thepressbox.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform to help others discover the show as well. We thank you for that. Coming up Monday on the program, back in the studio, and experts say between now and the end of the year is probably the best time to buy a car. But with roughly 275 different models to choose from, how do you pick the right one? So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.